Well, good evening and Merry Christmas. I trust that you had a wonderful afternoon. I did with my family, I know, and around 3 o'clock, John called me as we were concluding our Christmas meal and told me about Mike. And so it's my privilege this evening to bring the scriptures to us for a short meditation. And I want to, and have been praying this afternoon and preparing that the Lord would speak to all of us, including our children here as well. And so I'm glad that you're here, kids, and it's good to see each of you. I wonder, as I was thinking about the hymns we were singing, when you listen to public radio, when you turn the radio on in your car, I wonder over this Christmas season what you would think would be the most popular Christmas song. I wonder if you have a guess about that. And I'm sure a lot of you would blurt out a number of songs, but National Public Radio says that the number one song, the most popular song, is White Christmas. I didn't know that, but apparently it strikes a chord within our hearts in some sense, in the sense that, as you know the words, I'm dreaming of a white Christmas, which we had last year, not this year, but it strikes a chord within our hearts because we're dreaming about something, I assume, and it hits us because maybe we think that this Christmas could be one like we had years and years ago, and we dream about that. We wished it would be. Maybe a loved one has passed in this preceding year, and we dream about what it was like before that. Maybe it's because we would wish for a peaceful life in a world that is broken. I was reading this morning, each Sunday morning especially, I get on the news just briefly and try to find out what's going on in our world, and you probably saw it if you didn't, that there were bombings of churches in Nigeria, and a number of people were killed, a Muslim conflict against believers in two or three places there. And we may dream about how we could live a peaceful life in a world of war and terrorism and bombings and the like, true peace in our world and in our hearts. What are you dreaming about this Christmas? What are you thinking about? What's on your mind? I suggest that if we could tap into Paul's mind for a few moments this evening and ask ourselves what he might be dreaming about that he formulated in a prayer, it would be in Ephesians chapter 3. So if you would turn in your copy of God's Word to Ephesians 3, verses 16 through 19. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. He prays here that the Ephesians, and by implication us, would experience the presence of Christ. And to follow up on what Mike talked about, that Christ dwells in us. And so listen to what he says, Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. I'll begin in verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. At Christmas, we celebrate the incarnation, the truth of the mystery that God took upon himself flesh, forever continuing to be God and man in one person. But what is so amazing here is that Paul is praying for God in Christ by the Holy Spirit to dwell in our flesh. The unique reality of Christianity is that the God of the universe would not only dwell with us, but would dwell in us. For some of us, that seems pretty far-fetched. This is a mystery, Paul says. In Colossians 1:27, it's a mystery that he kept, is said that to be kept hidden through the ages, but now revealed by God when he says this in Colossians, the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And we dare not overlook this uniqueness of Christianity. It is not some religion that we get into, but someone who gets into us. And this is an amazing prospect of the presence of Christ. And it's described in this word dwell, which comes from this compound word that means to settle down in a house. And so Paul is speaking to Christians in this town of Ephesus who've already believed in Christ, but he wants them to know something even greater. He prays that they would gain this deeper understanding of the gracious reality that they already possess. Paul prays for the presence of Christ to be a reality for the Ephesians. I want to ask you a question tonight on this Christmas Eve evening. Is Christ, His presence, a daily reality in your life? Those experiences of reality of Christ's presence enjoy the riches of this intimate relationship with Christ. And this is what Paul says. He prays for us to enjoy these riches. Out of His glorious riches, that He may strengthen you so that Christ may dwell in your hearts. So apparently what Paul is saying here is to enjoy the riches of Christ's presence means to experience this love of Christ. So what he has in mind here is that he wants the Ephesians and he wants us to have a power to explore the expanse of this love of Christ who dwells in our hearts. And he wants us to measure this immense love of Christ in our minds and in our lives. In Ephesians, if you were to do a skim over of the whole book, the letter, Paul reminds us that his love is as wide as the world. It saves and reconciles men and women from every nation on the earth in chapter 2. It's as long as eternity, high as heaven, higher than the highest hopes, as one commentator says. And as deep as our own deadness and depravity in chapter 2. And Paul explored this, and he experienced it. And he writes about it in Romans 8, and he's convinced that nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. So to Paul, the love of Christ was wider than any circumstance. It's higher than any hope or happiness. It's longer than any loneliness you and I might experience. It's deeper than any deepest disappointment that we have. God not only tells us this, but Paul says he's convinced of the riches of Christ's love, and he asks us, are we? Are we convinced of the riches of Christ's love? He insists that we can experience the love of Christ truly, even if it is only partially in this fallen world. This is what he means when he prays that we might grasp and know the love that surpasses knowledge in this verse. And he chooses his words carefully here, and he calls us to grasp the intellectual side of it as well as the experiential side. So the question is for us today, just briefly, how can we experience the expanse of the love of God? How do we experience this coming year? Paul's description of it suggests that we have to trace its limits in our lives. We have to go to the edge of where we may perceive that the limits of Christ's love extend to that point and nothing beyond that point. And Paul says you got to walk out to that point where we may perceive it stops in our daily experience, where we may have doubts, where we have hurts or fears or shame. We have to step over the edge and trust, Paul says, that we cannot step beyond the limits of his love. We've got to see and experience that. Let me give you a little illustration of my own life that may help kind of illumine this about walking out to the edge and trusting Christ to experience and gaze upon the grandeur of his love for us. Many years ago, I'm 54 now, but many years ago, I remember my dad as a kid was taking me on a cross-country journey from Cocoa Beach, Florida, where my dad was in the Air Force. And we were actually headed to Japan because he was in the military and he had been transferred after the passing of my mother when I was 12 years old. And we started our trip, and I remember because he bought a car and just for the trip across the country and sold it in California before we flew overseas. And as we were going over there, there were several places that I was very excited about as a little 12-year-old guy wanting to see that I'd never seen. One place was where I was born in New Mexico. I'd never seen where I was born. And he took me there. Another place, though, that he took me was the Grand Canyon. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, and I do remember it vaguely, but it was majestic. Years and years of erosion and weather and water, seeing how the sheer vastness of it and experiencing it took my breath away. I remember that. I remember the anticipation of pulling up to the park and seeing this vast expanse of God's creation. I wasn't a believer at the time, but I will tell you that I remember distinctly thinking God had to have made this. Yet I remember when I got out of the car and then looked at the edge of it, I gasped in fear. And I thought, there is no way I'm going out to the edge of that canyon. I could see people going over the edge in my mind. I could see myself going over the edge and falling miles, what I would think, and no one ever finding me. I was fearful of going to the edge. I could see a metal rail that was supposed to keep you from falling, but I still hesitated because I was just afraid of heights. Then I vividly remember a strong hand grabbing my hand, and he took me, my dad, to the edge, and for about the next 20 minutes, I basked on the edge, seeing the wonder and the beauty and the vastness of the Grand Canyon, all the while my dad firmly holding my hand. I would have never experienced the grandeur of that canyon if I hadn't gone to the edge. I would have never been able to bring up the courage to walk to the edge had it not been my dad. Sooner or later, every one of us will experience trials and tragedies, betrayal, bitterness, loneliness. And every one of us as sinners has to deal with the shame of our sin. And those circumstances will often cause us to question his love. But what Paul is teaching us here is that in order for us to trace the limitless love of Christ, we have to appropriate the power of the Holy Spirit who dwells in us and let Jesus Christ take our hand to go to the edge and enter those experiences and apply the grace of the cross to them. What is the grace of the cross? It is believing that God the Father gave up his only perfect Son, whom he loved for us. Then surely we will experience that nothing short-circuits his love. No sin, no circumstance, nothing. Tracing the limitless love of Christ cannot be done alone. Paul prays in here that we shall have power together with all the saints to grasp, and as it was really and is, to graft the love of Christ. This means that we need the help of one another, brothers and sisters in the community of God, in the church of Jesus Christ, to help us experience it. That's why we need each other. So, I want to ask you, As you are contemplating on this Christmas evening in this year to come, I want to pray that your deepest dreams will come true if they're pleasing to the Lord, and that Christmas will become a present reality through the riches of Christ's loving presence dwelling in you, so that in this coming year, no matter where you are, no matter what will be your circumstance, you will trust Him and you will walk to the edge in faith by appropriating the power of His Spirit who dwells in you and experience and taste and see the boundless love of Jesus Christ, no matter how dark or lonely or lifeless it feels. I pray that for you and for me. Let's pray together. Father, when we today, at the end of this wonderful day, conclude reflecting on the limitless love of Christ, I pray for each of us. In those areas of doubt, in those places of concern and worry, in those relationships that are bitter, in those places where we are afraid to go, I pray that we might see that you, by the power of your Spirit, push us, take us, bring us out to the edge. And it is out there as we apply the gospel to our lives that we see and experience and taste the depth and the height and the breadth of the love of God in Christ. May that be our experience this year. No matter how dark a time we go through, no matter how challenging, I pray that we might test you in this, that we might say, by faith, I'm going to walk out there holding on to you, grasping on to you, hoping and trusting in you. Father, we come to the conclusion of this day, and it has been a delightful one for all of us and for our families. And I pray that as we go back to our daily lives, even this week, we might be living testimonies of Christ in us, the hope of glory. I pray now that you would fill us with your Spirit, that we might appropriate Him by faith and experience that power to test the limits, which are limitless, of the love of Christ that dwells in us. We do continue to pray for Mike and for his family, asking you that you would strengthen him and encourage him even this night and this time. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.